Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shalach. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Shalach. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Shalach. Today, I would like to focus on the closing section of the parsha, the section of Tzitzit. You can find this in chapter 15, verses 37 to 41. The Torah commands us that we are supposed to put tzitzit on the corners of our garments. And together with these tzitzit, we are supposed to put a blue thread. And in verse 39, it says, and shall be to you to tzitzit. You will see it. You will remember all the commandments. You will do them. You will not go after your heart and your eyes that you have a tendency to go astray after, or literally to prostitute yourself. I purposely did not translate the word tzitzit, and perhaps that's the key and the beginning to any discussion of this section. What is tzitzit? Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, in his commentary, says the word tzitzit has to do with the idea of something which sprouts forth. And in fact, you could actually see this if we look at next week's parsha, Parshat Korach. This is in chapter 17, verse 24, where there's a whole incident about Aaron's rod, which all of a sudden begins sprouting and which has almonds. And the word that's used is vayotze ferach. It brings forth a flower, vayatze tzitz. It then has tzitz, which we could presumably understand as the, after the flower, the buds, which eventually become almonds. So that the idea of tzitz over there seems to be something which is sprouting out, we could say a bud. We could also add to that the idea of something which all of a sudden becomes visible, which initially was contained from within, and which then all of a sudden bursts forth and becomes visible to the outside. Which therefore would mean in our context, and especially by the way the Torah formulates it, the idea of the connection between tzitzit and kanfei habeged, the corners of the garment, that somehow the tzitzit is an extension of the garment. Perhaps it's something which then draws your attention to that garment. Perhaps it is worth now entering into a discussion of the whole significance of clothing, and how clothing, to a great extent, is an external expression, manifestation of who we are, or, at the very least, who we would like to project, who we would like to be seen as in terms of the world outside of us. We are all familiar with the fact that there are various people who wear uniforms, where the uniform is somehow an identification and an identification of a role. A policeman, someone who's in the army, even a sales clerk, judges who wear robes, a king who wears a crown. All of these are indicative of a role and of a way which we want the society to perceive us, to see us. I would even add to that, that by wearing these clothes, it's very much also a statement for us, how we should see ourselves. When I am in uniform, I am expected to act as X. If I wear a crown, I am expected to act as a king with all that implies. If I wear robes, I am expected to be a judge with all that implies. And by the same token, if I am a policeman and I am wearing a uniform, I am expected to be someone who upholds the law. And we are all too aware of the fact of the problematics when there is a dissonance between the uniform I wear and the way I behave. The first instance of clothing in the Torah is in the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and all of a sudden become aware they are naked, their immediate reaction is to cover up their body with fig leaves. And we have discussed this in a previous podcast, that somehow wearing these clothes is literally a cover-up. It's an attempt to cover up the crime which they committed. It's an attempt to cover up their embarrassment, to somehow enable them to run away from what they've just done, so that it's not coincidental that together with putting on these garments, they are hiding in the garden. Subsequently, God gives them a different set of clothing, kotnot or skin clothing. And the Talmud says that in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, it says the word or, not with an ayin, which means skin, but rather with an aleph, which means light. The clothing which God gives them are clothing of light, clothing that is meant to somehow restore their human dignity, or to show them the path to restore their human dignity, to show them that they are not like animals. There is something which differentiates them from the animal world. They have the ability to overcome their animal desires. If we take this concept to our parsha, which speaks about the tzitzit, the Torah says, you will look at the tzitzit, and you will remember the mitzvot. You will not go after your eyes and your heart. The image of following one's heart and one's eyes, and perhaps I should emphasize, it speaks about first one's heart and then their eyes. The idea of seeing what you want to see, seeing what you desire to see, goes back to the Garden of Eden, when the woman is looking at the tree, and it uses the expression, ki ta'avahi la'inayim. It is desirable to the eyes. She desires that fruit. She wants to eat that fruit. She's intoxicated by the ability to be godlike. She allows her desires to override her rational thinking. She becomes so desirous of becoming godlike that after eating of the tree, she and Adam fall beneath the animals. And therefore there is a need to somehow restore the balance. And therefore God clothes them with special clothing, kotnot or. If we go to the tzitzit, on the one hand, have fringes, which are an extension of our clothing, which look no different than our clothing. Although the accepted practice and custom has been that we wear white fringes, but technically speaking, they don't have to be white. And together with those fringes, there is a blue thread, one thread which is blue. According to the rabbinic tradition, there are supposed to be 8 strings on each corner, 7 that are white and 1 that is blue. What is the significance of this? So I'd like to offer a number of possible suggestions. One suggestion, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch in his commentary says that there seems to be, according to the rabbinic understanding, something about 7 and 8. And the number 7 we know from creation has to do with the concept of the completeness of creation. It has to do with the idea that 6 days we are involved in a very real material world. One might even say in a very sensual world. But on the 7th day we step back. And on the 7th day all of a sudden we perhaps devote ourselves to a different aspect of creation, which is the spiritual side of creation. And therefore, what this does is to give us a sense of the completeness of creation, that On the one hand, there is the material. On the other hand, there is the spiritual. The two very much complete each other to form a whole. And this perhaps reflects to us, when we have the seven strings, our general calling as human beings. That as human beings, we need to understand this dual nature of our personality. The material side, the spiritual side. We need to be able to have that spiritual side, which is very much integrated with the material side, which perhaps elevates us, which calls us to what we would say a universal calling of human beings, to be more than just a physical brute. What is the eighth string, which is blue? He connects the eighth string with our unique Jewish calling. The blue is symbolic of the heavens, of the revelation at Sinai, of the mitzvot which were given to the Jewish people, as a way of saying that on the one hand we should, when we look at our clothing, understand who we are as human beings and who we need to be dignified human beings, but at the same time to also understand what separates us as Jews, what made us into Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The revelation at Sinai, which basically gave us the mitzvot. If I had to put it in slightly different language that we had before, the seven fringes, the seven strings, perhaps are similar to the kotnot or, which God clothed Adam and Eve. And they take us back to that story in the garden to remind us that we do have the ability to overcome our urges. We do have the ability to ultimately allow our mind to somehow overcome, or perhaps I should say, to somehow filter how we look at things, to allow us to perhaps transcend our urges and desires. Those are the seven strings. But the eighth string is what basically gives us that sense of what it means to be Jewish and what makes us unique, which goes far beyond what we had in the Adam and Eve story. I would like to now take that idea in a slightly different direction by drawing an analogy between the tzitzit and between another set of garments that we find in the book of Exodus, and that is the priestly garments. And there's a very, very interesting parallel between tzitzit and one of the garments of the high priests. And you can find this in chapter 39, verses 30 and 31. We are told that they made the tzitz, Nezer HaKodesh, out of pure gold. And they wrote upon it a writing which was engraved, holy to God. And then in verse 31, and they put upon it a blue thread to put on the head covering, the turban from above, as God commanded Moshe. One of the priestly garments is called the tzitz. What is the tzitz? The tzitz is a band, a gold band, which is placed on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, of the high priest. And on it is engraved, Kodesh Lashem, holy to God. And on top of this tzitz, holding it, is a blue thread, which is placed on the turban, the head covering of the high priest. So that we have basically two connections to our parsha. First, the garment is called tzitz, as tzitzit. Secondly, there is a blue thread, which is very much connected to it. The essence of this tzitz is reflected in what is engraved on it. Kodesh Lashem, holy to God. And its purpose is to remind the Kohen throughout of his purpose, his mission, which is holy to God. And by analogy, I would say, and the same thing is true of the tzitzit. Although there is nothing engraved upon them, In our section, it says, you will look at these tzitzit, which, by the way, the Kohen Gadol can't look at. He can't see the what's on his forehead. But we can see the tzitzit. And when we look at the tzitzit, then we remember all the commandments. We remember how we are holy to God. But now I would like to take it one step further. And that is, the priestly garments, which I have discussed in another podcast, are uniforms which the Kohen and the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol need to wear. Uniforms that are supposed to remind them of their role. And what is that role? Well, there are the four standard garments, which are made out of white linen. The white garments, by being made out of white, are symbols of purity. And I would add, symbols of humility. And those standard garments are there to remind the priests of how their basic function is to serve God, to be humble before God. The high priest has four additional garments, which have gold, and for our purposes, blue thread, tchelet. And Nachmanides has noted in his commentary, these are garments of royalty, which means that the image which the high priest is supposed to project is not just one of humility, but one of royalty, one of majesty. And therefore, if you take the two garments, two sets of garments together, ultimately they reflect the role of any human being, which is to be able to find the balance between majesty and humility. If we look at the tzitz, that one article of clothing, it is made out of gold. It says on it, Kodesh Lashem, holy to God. And that actually is an expression of majesty. The high priest, in a certain way, is the representative of God on this earth. The manifestation of Tzelem Elokim. That headband is held up by a blue thread, which is also an expression of majesty. That blue thread is placed on top of the mitznefet, the head covering. The head covering, which is a white garment. The head covering, which the Talmud says, not only by the high priest, but in general, is meant to show reverence for God. By covering one's head, this is an expression of subordination to God. So that the high priest, when he wears the tzitz, is actually supposed to be sensing his majesty which is very much connected with that humility. So therefore, let us now go back to the tzitzit. By wearing the tzitzit, one is supposed to be made aware of the mitzvot, to remember the mitzvot. By remembering the mitzvot, one is aware that they ultimately have to be responsive to a higher calling. Ultimately, that we are servants of God. But that blue thread, one blue thread, is supposed to also remind us that being servants of God is actually empowering. And that's what gives us our majesty. And I would even add that the more we are imbued with a sense of being servants of God, paradoxically, the more that that actually is empowering. And if I would then take it back to the beginning of the parsha, which we have discussed in other podcasts, the central topic of the parsha is the story of the spies. And perhaps one could say the tragedy of the spies. The tragedy of that lost opportunity of when the Jewish people had the opportunity to enter the land of Israel and instead cried and complained and convinced themselves of their being incapable of ultimately conquering the land of Israel. At the core of the sin of the spies was a certain obliviousness to the role of God in their lives. It is Kalev and Joshua who emphasize to the spies and to the rest of the people, God is with us. God will enable us to overcome our enemies. Don't be demoralized. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid of all the giants that are there. We can overcome. And had the Jewish people seen themselves in that role of being the servants of God, that would have given them the ability to be empowered, to see themselves as being the servants of God who do have the ability to overcome anything and everyone in their way, to see themselves as being true giants and not as grasshoppers, as articulated by the spies. And therefore, what comes out is the spies who did not see themselves as being servants of God, who wanted to see themselves as being independent, as being in control of their destiny, when confronted by a harsh reality, were totally blown away, were totally demoralized. Therefore, the Parsha of Tzitzit comes and says, don't go after your heart. Don't go after your heart, which is constantly looking at you as being the center of the universe, as you who wants to be godlike. Remember the mitzvot. Remember your role as being the servant of God. And if in fact you are able to internalize that, ultimately you will also have that blue thread. That blue thread which gives you majesty. That blue thread which enables you to feel confident that because you are doing the service of God, you can overcome every situation if that is the will of God. I would argue that from the beginning of creation, through the spies, to this very day, this is perhaps the challenge facing every single person, to be able to somehow see that dual role of humility and majesty, of being able to transcend oneself, to look at the world not through our lenses, but through the lenses of God, by accepting that yoke of heaven, by accepting that idea that ultimately our role is to serve God, we ultimately can become truly empowered to not only wear garments of royalty, but to in fact be regal. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.